السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable, respected ulama, respected and honorable and beloved brothers in Islam, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given us for different occasions different advices. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks with regards to four qualities. If we embrace, inculcate and imbue those four qualities within ourselves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that it doesn't matter to you then whatever losses you have with regards to your material life, with regards to this dunya. It is a known fact that when a person pursues this dunya beyond the scope of the Shariat, when a person pursues this dunya beyond what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded, then that person begins to indulge in certain activities that are against the commandments of Allah, and that undoubtedly has an impact on our akhlaq and the qualities that we possess. As believers, one is to carry out a deed, and one is to bring a quality within our hearts, within our lives. One is a person performs salat, so he will be regarded as one that read namaz. But one is a person becomes a real musalli. In other words, somebody that continues to perform salat will be regarded as a musalli. So like that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about these four qualities. And by and large, when we look at these four qualities, we will realize that in our pursuit of this material world, sometimes we forego these four very beautiful qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about in this hadith. So the first is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Hifzu amanatin." That is to look after and safeguard the amana, and we'll dwell on this a little longer than the other qualities. When we look around us today, we will find that this one quality is dwindling away from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once during a discourse, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and one person asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "When is Qiyamah? When is Qiyamah going to take place?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a riwayat it appears, he continued speaking. The Rawi, the narrator, says it was as though some of us thought maybe he didn't hear the question. But lo and behold, when he completed his discourse, he asked, "Where is the questioner who asked this question with regards to when is Qiyamah?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to this person, "When amana is lost, when amana is lost, is wasted actually." So the person obviously didn't understand what is the meaning of Amana being lost, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he elucidated and he qualified this and he said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, that when matters and affairs are placed in the hands of individuals who do not deserve it, those individuals who are not capable of looking after that amana. Now from here we learn one very important lesson, that close to Qiyamah, amana will be lost to this ummah. And we also learn another very important lesson, that amana is not just a person is leaving his hometown and he gives us a parcel to look after, and that only is regarded as amana. We go through the Quran Sharif, like the ayah that was recited, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. There are very many different types of amana. The one amana that we would like to discuss today is the amana of when somebody loans us something. When somebody gives us something, something is in our possession and it has to be given to somebody else, what are the shari'i implications and what are the lessons we learn from the Mubarak hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about a person of the past. This man was in difficulty, financial difficulty, and he loaned from someone. And when he goes to the person to take the loan, it was 10,000 silver coins. The person tells him that bring a witness to this loan that I am going to give you. The man replies that I have no witness, but Allah is my witness. The second, the person says, bring somebody as a guarantor, that the person may stand guarantee. The man replies, I have no guarantor, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my guarantee, and Allah Rabbul Izzat is the guarantor, and he will stand guarantee for this. Nonetheless, the creditor gives the loan to this person, he takes it, he obviously would use it for whatever he so desires to use it, and he goes on. Now, a need had come up and arisen in his life that he needed to leave his original residence, the place that he was staying, and he needed to move in the village, but on the other side of the river. So he goes on to the other side of the river, and the time of repayment now approaches. On the day of repayment, he goes to the river banks, and he does not find a boat. He does not find a take him across the river to the other side to have this money paid. Now, unlike the scenarios that we hear on a daily basis today, that the man changed his phone number or he's gone without an address, the man just disappeared. But this person has a real concern that this money has to be paid, and it has to be paid today. So he goes back, he has the coins with him, he takes a piece of wood, he carves out the inside of the wood, and he puts this money in, obviously making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his wakil, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He places this piece of wood on the surface of the water with a letter addressed to the creditor, and he allows this to go on to the other side of the river bank. He watches, scrutinizes very, very closely to see where this will go. On the other hand, look at the creditor. He had known that this man is an honest, trustworthy person that I had given the money to. So he goes to the other side of the river, that let me make it easy so that when the man comes with the funds, with the money, it will be easy, I will receive it, and that will be very easy for that individual. As he watches, he sees this piece of wood come, and he receives this piece of wood, he finds his name on it, and he finds the reason why it has been delivered in this fashion, that there is no boat that I could embark upon and come to this side. He opens and he finds exactly the amount of money that he had loaned. That is the money that he had received. Now this is an incident that our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives us of the people of the past. And as an ummah, are we going to like just keep this as the past? Is it something that we're going to bring into our lives? Something that we are going to look forward to all the time? That whatever Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi has written in the definition of amana, just very briefly, anything that we have been entrusted with, a loan is also something that we have been entrusted with. If somebody supplies us goods and we have to repay, then that is also the man has entrusted us with something. Then we find again a very amazing incident that had taken place amongst the people of the past, that one purchaser, one man buys a piece of land from another person. The deal was done, willing buyer, willing seller, whatever the price was, all of that was arranged and sorted out. Now the buyer takes occupation of this property, of this piece of land. A little time passes and he begins to dig, whatever the reason may have been, cultivating, developing the land. He finds a huge treasure that is buried under the ground. So he removes it and he sees to his amazement a large amount, a large quantity of gold is in this treasure. So what does he do? And I think before we think about what did he do, what would I do, what would you do? This person immediately goes back to the seller and he informs the seller that I have found this treasure and it is not mine. The seller says, you found the treasure and it is not mine. Did we ever find in the modern world that we live in that two people are denying ownership? And normally when a case would go to any judge, to any adjudicator, any mediator, arbitrator, you will always have a plaintiff, a claimant, and you'll have a defendant. This is one of those cases that is recorded in the Kitabs of Hadith, that a case goes to a mediator when both parties are denying the ownership of something. I think if it goes in the modern courts of this world, maybe the judges will die also. But nonetheless, now the mediator sits with this matter. How do you resolve this issue? So Allah Ta'ala put it into his heart. He asked the one party, do you have any children? He said, yes, I have a son. He asked the other party, do you have any children? He said, yes, I have a daughter. So he said, why not get your son married to his daughter and give the couple this treasure and the matter will be resolved. So brothers, this is the type of amanadari. This is the type of trust that was found amongst the people of the past. A person told me an incident, and it is something that we need to think about, that a Christian person was leaving town, a Muslim person was leaving town, and he gave in as amana to his Christian neighbor a huge sum of money. There was some relationship between them, some association between them, so he gave him this large sum of money to keep. And this is something that is thought-provoking, and how others look at Muslims at certain times in our lives. So when that Muslim brother came back, he went to the Christian counterpart and he asked him for his amanat. The Christian refused to give and hand over that amount of money that was in amanat. The Muslim made several attempts, requested, and then he goes to a demand, and then he gets stern in the demand and did not relent. So the Muslim thought about it, that this is a righteous Christian, a man that goes to the church. So let me go to the pastor, to the priest, and let me speak to him about this, that perhaps he can take out this amount of money from the individual. He goes to that priest and he sits and he explains his predicament. So the priest writes a little small letter, a note, something that looked like a taweez. He gave it to him, put it into an envelope and gave it to him. And he said, go and give this congregant of mine and I think your matters will be resolved. So he goes and he gives and he hands over that letter to the Christian, that note to the Christian. The Christian person opens it, he looks at it, he begins to frown, he begins to perspire. Then the Muslim brother says, he brings my parcel and he gives it back to me. Now I'm wondering, what is it that was written? What kind of taweez would a priest write for this all to happen so easily? So he asked the Christian brother, what is it that has been written? The brother tosses the letter, the note over to the Muslim brother. And when he looks at it, simple written, my dear brother, since when have you become like the Muslims? Since when have you become like the Muslims? And it is an insinuation that Muslims would do such things. Brothers, we need to understand that the world out there, they are not present when you and I congregate in the masjid. They are not there when you and I are performing our tahajjud salat. They do not